Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Monday, 917-889-3926. We up in here. It's that dude, your homie, T.M. Hyman, your hip-hop informer, hanging out with Hot Chocolate. We out of the ATL. It's 904 on the East Coast, 604 out West. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, Sheena Johnson pulls up tonight. She's going to share about overcoming trauma through resilience. And when I say resilience, like resilience, like nobody's business, powerful story. Again, she's pulling up to talk to you about it. And you can join the discussion, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Shout out to Trust, who's always setting up dope connections. And I connected with Sheena through Trust. We be in these Clubhouse streets, something serious. And we're going to talk. I heard her story on Clubhouse months ago. Again, super powerful story of something extremely tragic. But again, she overcame through resilience, and we'll hear more about that shortly. What's good with your hot chocolate over there in close out to the airport?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over here on the south, with an F, that is, south side of ATL, right?
Shouty.
Yeah, ATL Shouty, we out here. And, yes, I'm definitely intrigued to hear this story. You mentioned resilience, and after you just telling me a little bit about her story, I think that's a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, it is certainly, right? I mean, a bit of an understatement. And, you know, I wanted to have her on because not only is the story powerful, but I think it's very relatable, you know, to a lot, in a lot of ways, and probably will help a lot of people. And that's why we're here, right? It's real talk, real people, real times. You know, Sheena's story really spins out of domestic violence, right? And we've talked about domestic violence on this show many, many times. We've had people on who told us some interesting stories of domestic violence. What is domestic violence? I mean, really, it's the willingful intimidation, physical assault, battery, right, sexual assault, and or any abusive behavior as part of like a systematic pattern of power and control, you know, over your intimate partner, right? You know, or someone that you are in a typically a sexual relationship with. And I just want to stress willful intimidation, right, or physical assault, battery, sexual assault, or abusive behavior in any kind of way, right? Again, a systematic pattern of power and control perpetuated by an intimate partner, which is interesting, right? That an intimate partner, you know, would want to, like, negatively impact someone that they care about, but it happens oh so often, right? I mean, it includes physical abuse, sexual violence, psychological violence, and emotional abuse, right? So I just want to stop right now by saying that if anyone is experiencing any kind of abuse, you know, you can seek help anonymously, or if you know someone who's experiencing some kind of abuse, you know, you can seek help on their behalf anonymously to see what kind of tips or information you can gather if you aren't aware. And you can always call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. And that's really safe. 7233 is the word safe. Or 1-800-787-3224. And so before we go any further, I just want to bring our special guest into the conversation tonight, my friend Sheena Johnson, all the way from Clubhouse, where she has impacted so many people telling her story. So I digress and welcome my friend Sheena Johnson.
Yes, Sheena, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Introduce
Thank
yourself,
you all so much. I am Sheena Johnson, a.k.a. Sheena, that's the capital S-H-E, for the she and the he. Because this does not just exist in women, it exists for men, too.
Absolutely.
Sheena speaks
help us
life.
Out, sister. Help us out.
Yes, Sheena speaks life. This is something that's ongoing. It just didn't just come up. It's been existing. However, we have been quiet about it for so long. Now it's time to take our power back. And by doing that, by speaking more on the topic, I'm not just helping one family. I'm not just trying to save one soul, one person. I'm trying to save both families, because there are two families affected when this happens. In my situation, of course, it is domestic violence, but it went from domestic violence to attempted first-degree murder. I was shot 6 times in front of my children. And my children actually, with God, saved my life, along with the surgeons of Memphis, Tennessee. I was airlifted from my home at that point of time. Sometimes we get too stuck to where we have to construct a plan in order to be able to leave. At that time, I didn't have a plan. I just had to go. And by God's grace, I'm still here. I was shot twice in my face. I was shot twice in my left arm. I was shot once in my chest. I was shot once in my right arm. However, this does not only happen to females. A lot of people get this perspective that it's just the women that are physically abused. Men are abused as well. Men, however, they have a pride. They don't want to let the world know about what's going on behind closed doors. Men have to speak up as well. This is not prejudice. It's not singled out just to one race. This happened. And when this happens, we have to learn to love ourselves enough to leave the situation. And I just stop right there. I can go on and on, but I can just stop right there.
And you can pause. You can pause for your own sake, because you just shared a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if you have really connected the dots here, right? But our guest tonight is Ms. Sheena Johnson. Sheena speaks. She's a powerful speaker. And what she just shared was she was the victim of domestic violence, and she was shot in her face. She was shot in both of her arms, and by the grace of God, she's still here. And I'm not sure if you can tell, but she's having a hard time breathing even as we speak, because she's been recovering for months.
Goodness.
She's been recovering for months. And this is what I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen. She is right here sharing her story with you, because the first thing she said, did you hear what she said? And she is struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
She says, we're going to take our power back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take our power back. That's why tonight's topic is so important to me. It says overcoming trauma with resilience. With resilience. Like no excuses, my friends. She's taken her power back, and she's been shot multiple times, and she can't breathe, and she ain't on no soapbox, no pity party. She ain't blaming nobody. She ain't talking about what somebody did to her last week. Listen, no excuses. We sick of you talk about, you know, your problems over there, when you can breathe with no problem and you got all your limbs. And you listen, we sick of you.
Totally.
Listen to this story of trauma and resilience, and you should be motivated to move beyond your situation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hey, Sheena, can you tell you the motivated me like in the first like 15 minutes of the show? So listen, we gonna pause for the call.
Voice.
I'm gonna
you
take a break.
Up.
Listen, hey, I'm lit right now, sis. It's so inspiring. You inspire me. You inspire me. Hot chocolate, take it.
I need to know, when did this happen for you to be able to have the wherewithal, the energy, the passion to still flourish the way that you are? How recent did this happen?
November 25th, 2017
it hasn't even...
is when it happened. I am still going through surgery. I woke up. I could not speak. I don't have my full tongue. But even when I woke up, I wrote down the words with my right hand because
Jesus.
I'm left-handed. And I wrote down the words after, mind you, after I had to make sure my kids was fine. I had to locate my kids because I woke up on December the 6th and I forgot. And it wasn't about the part of me being mad and being hurt because I was scared. I was scared. PTSD, nightmares, all that. It's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to forgive in order to start to heal. I had to forgive in order to get myself to the place I am now. Because these surgeries that I go through, they're no joke. When I get put to sleep, I get put on a ventilator just like COVID. Like every surgery,
mm-hmm.
I get back. I have to have a tube ran through my nose instead of through my mouth because I had a trach. And I have damage. I have scar tissue there. So I have to get it ran through my nose in order to breathe. And this happens surgery after surgery after surgery. But I am motivated so much because not only I have girls, I have a son, I have children that need to see a survivor. I have people that need to see a survivor. I'm not, I don't believe that God woke me up for me. This is not for me. This is for someone else. It's a purpose.
Sheena, why was it important? Why was it so important for you to forgive your abuser, your aggressor, your shooter?
I had to forgive my abuser because hatred in my heart would ate me alive. I had to forgive him in order to start to heal myself.
Powerful.
It would still take me so much to be able to consider forgiving that
mm-hmm.
sort of heinous act. So
mm-hmm.
I commend you. It would take, I can't say that I would never get there, but I don't think I could get there this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's important to catch what she said, right? It's important, and Sheena, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is so good, right? Because I think what Hot Chocolate just said is most of our reflexes. It's like
mm-hmm.
we'll never forgive someone who personally attacked, right? Disrespected, but betrayed, damaged. Like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause so much
mm-hmm.
trauma, right? The reflex is to never forgive. But did you hear what she said? She said in order for her to start healing, she had to forgive. Because, ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for us.
Period.
Forgiveness is for us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sheena.
The forgiveness is mentally and spiritually linked so hard. Like, I had to forgive. It was a must in order for me to heal, to even begin to try to heal. Because I'm still in the healing phase. Don't get me mistaken. However, in order for me to try to heal, I had to forgive. If not, I would be hurting over and over and over again. How can I help someone if I'm not healed? How can I have a voice if I'm not healed? So, yes, I had to forgive. And not only did I have to forgive, I had to let my children watch me forgive. I can tell them to forgive all day, but to actually see the forgiveness and see the progression of my actions, because I can forgive and not forget. I'm not saying forget, never forget, because you know what you don't need to do the next time. There's a lesson in that blessing. Like I said earlier in the week, a lesson learned is a blessing earned.
Lesson learned is a blessing earned.
A lesson learned is a blessing earned.
Come on now.
And your life is indeed a blessing. And I heard you say that you feel that, you know, God saved you and you're still here for others. And so, you know, lesson learned is a blessing earned is a dope statement. It's a dope statement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about resilience around the topic of domestic violence. Sheena was shot multiple times. Sheena, was he your husband or just the significant?
He was. He was your husband, recently. I recently finally got divorced August the 30th of 2021.
Wow. Of this year? Of this year?
Of this year, yes.
Mm.
When I tell you, it was a roller coaster ride. But when the judge said that, Ms. Johnson, you are divorced, that was a power that I have never felt like I finally. I was getting my power back. Now I have my power back. Now I
congratulations.
Really help.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, domestic violence is an epidemic impacting individuals in every community, regardless of age, economic status, sexual orientation, gender, race, religion, nationality. I mean, the one thing that Sheena said earlier is that it's not just women who deal with this, right? It's not just
That's
men
true.
Who beat up women. Like, women beat the hell out of men. We just never hear about it, right? Because who wants to talk about their lady kicking their ass all around the house? Listen, I don't
right.
know about one dude who's going to show up at no table, right, no barbershop, like nowhere, and going to talk about my lady punched me in the eye last night. Like, no, what? What? But listen, it happens every day. It happens every day. And what we must understand is it is often accompanied by emotional abuse, right? Real controlling behavior. And that's really only a fraction of the systematic pattern of dominance and control. Like, domestic violence can result not only in physical injury, right? It could be psychological, and even more severe, it can result in death, right? I mean, come on.
Yes.
The devastating physical, emotional, psychological consequences of domestic violence can really stretch across generations. It's a cycle. If kids see domestic violence, they are more likely to become an abuser or be abused themselves. And it can be, listen, it can have a lasting impact, right, Sheena? Go ahead. Go ahead, weigh in.
Yes, it could have a lasting impact. I could say my kids from that, as of right now, they tell me they never want to have kids. And that is an issue. Therefore, that's why after that, you want to seek psychological help. We need our mental health. Mental health awareness is so important that people don't understand. They want to hide it. They want to put on a mask and pretend like it doesn't exist. And then we're depressed behind closed doors. And I know because I've done it. I'm here to speak about it.
Right.
And it's so important.
I think that's important what you're saying, right? The mask,
mm-hmm.
The hiding, the embarrassment, the shame, all of that that comes with abuse, right? So I want to talk about what does abuse include, because what you just said is extremely important. But I think the fact that you just said you did it, you can talk about it in real time to help others not to experience the level of trauma that you have had to face yourself. It is not always easy to determine the early stages of a relationship. You know, if one will become abused or not, right? Most situations do not start off the way they end. It's hard to tell sometimes. Domestic violence intensifies over time. It's nothing you should ever be shame about. It's never anything that you should hide. You know, abusers may often seem wonderful in the beginning, perfect initially, but gradually become aggressive and more controlling as the relationship continues. If you or anyone you know are experiencing domestic violence, abuse in any way, for anonymous confidential help available 24/7, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. One more time. You got your pen? You ready? You ready? 1-800-799-7233. It's the Social Lab. We'll be right back with our special guest tonight.
Talk Radio Show. Real talk.
I want to welcome Madam CeeLo Boston into this conversation live out of Charlotte tonight. What's good, Madam Boston?
Welcome to our guest. Thank y'all. Thank you for joining us. And yes, I know I'm joining y'all late, but I was on grandma duty. So.
No.
It's all good, grandma. That beautiful baby you got out there.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. So I will let you. I'm going to take a back seat and let you ladies drive the second hour of this discussion, as I'm sure you all can totally relate, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions.
Okay.
That's definitely not a problem. Sheena, talk about your road to recovery. After the forgiveness, what was the next step mentally? I know physically, lots of surgeries and lots of rehab, but talk about the mental aspect.
Mentally, I had to go to a family therapist as well as trauma therapy, and I'm still going to those therapies. It was basically I had to relocate from the actual crime scene, focus on my health and my children, My physical health was very important because of the things that my children engage in. They're student athletes, so I had to focus on that. I'm still disabled and unable to work at this time, and I'm still going through surgeries. So my biggest thing is focusing on my health and learning to love myself.
And Sheena, how old are your children?
I have an 18-year-old. I have a 15-year-old, and I now have a 7-year-old.
Wow. And how are they?
They are thriving. They are my 18-year-old. She's on the president's list. She plays basketball. She's on a scholarship. My 15-year-old, she plays every sport to man and woman. And my 7-year-old, he plays flag football, and he thrives as well. But I had to get them out of the environment that they were in because we weren't in a good environment. We were actually still at the crime scene. And once we relocated from the crime scene, they took off. And once they started therapy, my 7-year-old didn't start it yet. But my daughters, we went to family therapy. And once they started family therapy, they kind of took off from there. And my son, he mimics us. So when you, that's another thing about the domestic violence situation, children need to see healthy relationships. They need to see their mother or their father or anyone being loved the correct way versus the negative way, because that has so much impact on their situations. It could go right or wrong. Every action has a reaction. There's a consequence for every action, whether it be a good action or a bad action. It could be a good consequence or a bad consequence. It's our job to steer them in the right direction after the trauma.
Absolutely. Your story is it's so bone-chillingly horrific, but so inspiring at the same time. I want to know who's cutting the onions is what I want to know. And whoever it is.
Sheena, I'll ask this question. Where do you see yourself, 3 to 5 years from now? Like, what are your aspirations? Because I know speaking is a goal, but where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now?
In 3 to 5 years from now, I want to be an inspirational speaker. I want to be able to go to schools, because this is where it happened. I was 14 when I abused her. At that time, it was persistence that got me, just like it was persistence that ended the situation. It was till death do us part, for real, on his end. So I want to speak to the children. I want to speak to the adults that are going through this. In 3 to 5 years, I want to be able to save 2 families. If I can save one person, I'm saving 2 families. I'm saving a generation.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. If I can save one person, I'm saving a full generation of 2 families. Because both families.
So, Sheena, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you because I'm so with you, but I want to save so many more families, right? So many more families are worth being saved. And so you are in a packed arena right now, not just an auditorium, but you're in a packed arena. Let's visualize it. People are, you have motivated them, right? And this is your closing statement. This is the one thing you want everybody in this arena to leave with. What are you telling them?
Love you as if God, because you matter first.
Amen. Amen. Love yourself. Love yourself enough to say no. Love yourself enough to walk away. Love yourself enough. Love yourself enough. You said this started when you was in middle school or high school. Right,
I
mean,
14,
what?
High school.
14 years old. For I mean, come on, we know at 14,
we're
trying to find ourselves,
like
right?
Right.
We're still trying to find ourselves. I mean, what advice do you have, you know, for teenagers today that may be tapped in, or for the parents of teenagers who may be listening right now? What advice do you have for them?
My advice for teenagers today is don't try to grow up so fast. Be kids. Be kids. Love your life. Time is our most valuable resource. Be careful who you give your time to, because everybody is not worthy of it.
Big facts.
Yeah.
Everybody is not
worthy. That's a big one right there.
Right.
Everybody's not worthy of your time. That's a message even for the grown folks in the back, like straight up. Like, listen,
right.
that is a message for us all. Everybody's not worthy of your time. And really our time is our greatest commodity. And we have to learn how to protect it with our life. Did you hear me?
Right.
We have got to learn how to protect our time with our life. And some of y'all are like, protect my time? What you talking about? That's because you don't think your time is valuable and you sleep all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep
right.
so damn
mm-hmm.
much, you don't even know what I'm talking about. And really ain't talking
right.
to you because you ain't trying to get nothing done. I'm talking to somebody
mm-hmm.
who's trying to get something done. Protect your time because time is valuable.
Mm-hmm. Time
right.
is
like,
almost
for real. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Once
it's
that's
gone, it's gone.
That we learned. That's something that we learn, though, when
it's
we
true.
Get older. Because you start telling that to a teenager. And because I was just thinking about it, because I joined the conversation late, so a lot of the details
mm-hmm.
I didn't catch. So that's why I haven't really been asking too many questions. But it just struck me when he said that you were 14, that's that puppy
mm-hmm.
love age. So
mm-hmm.
even if somebody would have tried to tell you, that's that age where girls fight hard to stay with their boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it is. It's that puppy love stage.
And they reject everything that mom and dad is saying,
yeah.
right? And when mom and dad is saying no, that they
right.
interpret no
let's
as yes.
Go.
They interpret it as go. They interpret it
right.
as go,
let's
right?
go.
Because, you know, y'all don't know, you just want me to not have fun. That's what most
right.
people think. You just don't want me to have, you just don't want me to be around boys. You know
it.
What I mean? So it's like, that's a hard sell to a
you
teenager.
You don't understand what it's like being a teenager.
You got to start, or you got to start early teaching your kids that their time is precious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's why what you're doing is saving a lot. Because it's like the sooner someone finds out first that they're even being abused, because let's
mm-hmm.
we could talk about that, about how many people think they're not being quote unquote really abused.
Abused.
Right. Right.
Because
you know,
it was many times that I blame myself because he blamed me, so
mm-hmm.
I blame myself. And
right.
childhood plays a lot of part in that. And that's a whole
yeah.
different topic.
Right.
But the way you come up plays a whole part in that. So, yeah, it's plenty of times that well, I deserve that. Well, he was right. Well, I mean, I have a deceased daughter. I was blamed for her death. She died from SIDS.
Wow.
Now, that's not mental abuse. Now that I look at it, but at that point in time, I was in such a depression, I believe it.
Yeah, Sheena, I think this is a great segue, guys, into, you know, what we mentioned earlier, right? What does abuse actually include, right? Abuse may begin with behaviors, again, right, that may be easily dismissed, downplayed, such as name calling, threats, right? Possessiveness to a lot of chicks, you know, it's like, ooh, he loves me.
Yeah.
Right? But really it's not love at all. It's possessiveness, and you need to be able to identify it, as well as distrust. Right? Distrust is something that's identified early, and what women will be like, oh, you know, he just a player. You know, all the girls just want him. It has nothing to do with him and his behavior, right? And again, this is not just one way. It goes both ways for both men and women. There's a lot of female players who will pimp slap a dude who try to check him. Like, for real, I know a couple. Just saying. I'm just saying. Some examples of abusive tendencies, though, like, you know, They are included, but not limited to. Sheena just said it, right? She was blamed for a tragic situation, but it could start off like name calling, right? Telling the victim that, you know, they can't ever get anything right. There'll never be anybody, right? Showing up jealous, right, of the victim's family and friends in the time that they spent away. That's a big one. Right. Going back to possessiveness. Yeah. Right? Accusing the victim of cheating. That's something we hear all the time, right? I mean, keep discouraging the victim from seeing family and members, embarrassing or shaming the victim through put downs. I mean, can you relate to any of that, Sheena?
I can relate to all of it. Separation from my family and from my friends. Pairing up items that doesn't belong. I have had, I don't know how many phones broken. I've had my best friends, I was her matron of honor, my dress was tore up, it was cut up with a box cutter.
What?
Yeah. It's like, it's so many things that happen that's not just physical. It's punching walls is everything.
Intimidation.
All of it. I've had it. Name it. It's been done. And even to the point to where I was toxic. It made me toxic in the situation.
Right.
It made I expected the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I expected this to happen.
Right.
And then it will happen so often to where, okay, now I take a break, and then now the aggressor wants to come back and a totally different person. And we'll think that they're a totally different person, and then boom, something happens. And now it's more serious. But it doesn't happen as frequently, but the severity of it is more damaging.
Right.
Right.
And
earlier you talked about a plan and a need for a plan when you're trying to escape a situation.
Escape.
Or when you're trying to terminate a relationship, and you said that you did not have a plan. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about, as we wind the conversation down, I wanted to make sure that we talk about, you know, the fact that domestic violence doesn't always end when the victim escapes the abuser, right, or tries to terminate.
Mm-hmm.
Often it intensifies, right, because the abuser feels a loss of control over the victim. The abuser frequently continues to stalk and harass and threaten and all of those type of things. And so this is actually how this happened, right, Sheena? It was in the midst of an escape.
It was. I actually, I went to Kansas, and I had just told my kids just to pack clothes, and what they don't have, we'll get there. And when I came back, I didn't think that my aggressor was in the house. I actually made a phone call to his mother and asked, was he at my house? And she said, no. My kids begged me. Like, when we got to St. Louis, they was telling me to turn around. They didn't want to leave. I should have listened to my children. Like, I had a good feeling, but I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. I never in a million years knew I was going to get shot. Never in a million years. Never in a million. What happened was straight out of First 48. And it was so horrific and so gruesome to where, like, I am thanking God that my children are able to overcome it. Because we're still overcoming, but we are overcomers.
Amen.
Was he charged in the crime, Sheena?
We will go to trial January the 10th and the 11th. That's why I can't speak a lot about it. We're not even done. Like, it's so much that goes along with my case. Like, my case was so messed up. We're not even there. It's family members that are in the police department. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I want everyone to understand is listening. If you're just joining us, you have got to go back to the top of the show. It's 9:47 here on the East Coast, 6:47 on the West Coast. You got to go back to the top of this podcast and listen to this from the beginning. Our special guest tonight, Ms. Sheena Johnson. And, man, she has been totally transparent. And as we, you know, continue, you know, with this particular piece, it's important to know that, you know, victims is most often in, you know, in the most dangerous situation. It's directly following trying to escape a relationship, right, or seeking help. This is the most dangerous part of the relationship, because one-fifth of homicide victims with restraining orders are murdered within 2 days after obtaining a restraining order. One-fifth of victims, homicide victims, that's a lot, one-fifth, who actually got a restraining order, right? Murdered 2 days after. One-third are murdered within the first 2 months. This is after getting a restraining order. And then often there is unfair blame, I think, we frequently put on victims, right, of abuse, because we assume that the victims chose to stay in that situation, when in fact it's just not easy to leave. You know, I mean, bringing an end, you know, to an abusive situation is crazy. Go ahead, Sheena.
I have been asked so many times, well, why didn't you just leave? Or I've overheard, because I don't speak on what people think of me, because their thoughts is their thoughts. Your opinions is your opinions. You can think what you want. You'll never live my life. You can never feel my shoes. So I often hear people, well, she could have left, she chose to say, no, you have no idea how hard it is for a person going through a domestic situation to leave that situation and to come out alive or to come out even like me.
Well, my friend, you know, what I will say, what I say is thank you. You know, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing your story. The truth is, you know, bringing an end to abuse is not a matter of the victim choosing to leave, right? I mean, it's a matter of the victim being able to safely escape their abuser, the abuser choosing to stop the abuse, and others really holding the abuser accountable for the abuse they have inflicted. Listen, if you know someone who is in an abusive situation, or if you know an abuser, right, for anonymous confidential help, available 24/7, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-787-3224. Sheena, you don't know how much you inspire me, my friend. And I know if you inspire me, you inspire so many other people out there. And I'm excited that this is going to be available for others to listen to, you know, at the end of this show. The podcast will be available about 20 minutes after the show. So go back and check it out and share it with somebody who may be experiencing something. You know, just share it with them, you know, let them listen to the show. And Sheena, we appreciate you, sis.
I appreciate
y'all.
I am just a vessel. And I want to shout out Trust again, because if it wasn't for her, that's my motivator right there. If it wasn't for her motivating me on Clubhouse to speak, once I spoke, it was like this feeling of, I'm getting my power back. And I want others to get their power back as well.
You got your power back, girl. We feel that power over there. We can feel it.
Honored to be in your presence. Honored.
I appreciate y'all so much for having me.
Don't care.
Indeed.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Indeed. Sheena, I'm going to ask you now a couple of personal questions. Listen, books. Or inspiration, songs, like where do you get your inspiration from? Because you're so inspirational, right? What is pouring into you? Like, is it books? Is it music? Is it movies? Like, where do you get your inspiration?
Basically, my children inspire me. My life inspires me. Myself, I look back over what I've been through. I go through all my pictures. I document everything. I go through everything I've been through. I've even written, starting on my book. Well, I'm not now finishing up my book. And I go through, during that process, I was going through every single emotion. Every time I wrote a word, I went through that emotion. I felt that pain. And when I shook out of it, from where I came from to where I am now, that's my inspiration. God's my inspiration. Wow. My children are my inspiration. Because for me to be in a hospital bed watching my kids on live play basketball while their mother is fighting for her life, and the doctors are telling her, well, we don't think you might not make it. We're just gonna make you as comfortable as possible. And I'm seeing my daughters play, and I'm gonna make it. I'm going to make it. I have to. It's a must. So my children are my biggest inspiration.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
That is so dope. hot chocolate or
Steve-O?
Got a question.
I want to know who's cutting the onions again. Cut it out.
Oh, get out of here, crybaby. Get out of here. Hey.
No, I'm a softie.
I got questions forever. It's all good, right? It's all good. When you think of, like, the person who has, like, been that hero in your life, like, who was, because you got such a dope spirit. I mean, you've been through some stuff, and I don't know who you were prior to this traumatic experience, and I don't think it matters, right? It's about who you are today. But who has been your, like, your greatest influence?
For me, my great-grandparents was my greatest influence. The reason why I say that, they were married for 76 years, and I watched that throughout my time. Like, I've been through some stuff. Like, my father died at a young age. I took care of my grandmother. My grandmother took care of me. My brother died when he was 31. My mother has passed away. So with all of that being said, I, at the age of 11, I was literally in the hospital room with my 99-year-old great-grandfather because he was passing away, and I wanted to stay with him to make sure he was comfortable, and that was at the age of 11. Because I watched them throughout my lifetime, throughout their lifetime, as being married, as being whole, as one person bringing 100% and the other person bringing 100%, not 50-50. I watched them get into small arguments, but never big arguments, because there's no altercations in front of children. I never seen my great-grandfather lay a hand on my great-grandmother, nor have I heard of it. So that was my inspiration.
There it is. Sheena, how do we follow you? How do our listeners follow you? How do we keep up with you so that we can continue to get all this inspiration? Drop your social.
I am on Instagram at Sheena E. Johnson or Sheena Speaks Live. You can look me up on Instagram. And my Facebook is, hold on, what is my Facebook? I think it's just my name, Sheena E. Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest tonight, Sheena E. Johnson. Go ahead.
Yes. And I don't have a Twitter. I made one, but I dismissed it. But I am on Instagram a lot, so between Instagram and Facebook. So that's how you keep up with
between
me.
Between IG, Facebook, and LinkedIn, folks, follow our guests. Stay inspired. Go back and check out the podcast. We are back here on Wednesday, 9 p.m., and we may take the conversation over to Clubhouse. We are not going over to Clubhouse tonight because Sheena has poured into us this last hour, and now she needs to go rest. And y'all know how y'all do us on Clubhouse. Yeah. Y'all keep us up for hours and hours over there, and tonight we like, nope, we're not going to be able to do it. Sheena, get some rest. Uh-huh. We appreciate you, mama. Good night, my friends.
Thanks.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live.